All right, so the next item on our agenda, on our docket, is 5-25-0295. People X. Rel. Hain, etc. v. 2017 Lexus RX 350 et al. And again, this is Mr. Unsel for the appellant and Mr. Marshall for the appellee. All right, Mr. Unsel, if you'd like to begin again.
I apologize, I'm a little under the weather.
I have a six-year-old, believe it or not. I do. It's his first year of kindergarten, and he's trying to revamp his immune system, and at the same time, he's throwing mine out of whack. I started off the previous argument. I won't reiterate that. It was Judge Schroeder. It was his decision. I'm washing my hands of this. I'm not giving it to anybody. I'm just dismissing it. He was clearly in error. It's acknowledged by the state that was error, so I won't belabor that. That was the wrong decision. Now, counsel suggests a hypothetical that, well, what should have, would have, should have, could have. What should have been done was the state should have filed a motion to continue, and these other claims, alleged claims, then they could have addressed that. That's absurd. That should not have been done, and that could have been done. The forfeiture act applies to all of us. If they truly are victims, they knew about this. The record shows that they were at the Madison County State's Attorney's Office in July, which was a month after this money was given to the claimants. Madison County, by the statute, had an obligation at that point to notify them of their rights. They did not. They did not do that. The people on their own had actual notice of where it was. The statute, again, says you have a time limit. This is what you need to do. And as we are a year later, no, they have not done that. They've way past the statute. It provides for this type of scenario. And they, as innocent owners, would have applied, presented their case, and it would have been adjudicated accordingly. They didn't do that.
What about the state's position, though, that you can delay the return of property that is needed for evidentiary purposes, and they cite the statute for that? What about that provision? I mean, this delay seems reasonable in light of the fact that the money is being held.
Well, how does it seem reasonable when Callaway County was involved for 10 months prior to this? That Madison County, the MXI officers, didn't interview anybody until November. So everyone knew where this money was and what it was done. No charges were filed. They probably believed that it was absurd, as I said earlier, with these fences, but nothing was done. I filed in October the motion to suppress. I am pushing, and less than 2 weeks before we're to hear the motion to suppress, criminal charges are filed in Callaway County. Now, on their very face, they fly in Illinois law and in Missouri law. I mean, there's no argument that the money was voluntarily given. There's no argument that it was snatched by Illinois State Police less than 2 hours after they left. So how could you possibly pursue or prosecute a case for theft by deception at that point? There wasn't enough time that went on. And maybe that's why they delayed. But they filed this at the last minute because the state's, Madison County State's Attorney's Office didn't want me getting the money. They looked at that. They said, this case is going nowhere. And contrary to what the other gentleman said, it was unconstitutionally seized. I believe that they acknowledged that when they refused to proceed on the criminal case. So then the very next day, I go to the civil judge, who was different than the criminal judge in this case. The criminal judge was Judge Berkman. I go to Judge Roy, I want to hear it. I want the state to proceed on the forfeiture, which you can, regardless of the criminal case being dismissed. Well, they do. We refuse. We're not doing it. You know, and the judge seems to be on their side. We're not. But we can't even take into account this innocent owners because they did not follow the statute. And the same way on the police. The statute provides for the police. If they needed that money, then they have a procedure that they have to follow. It's called a turnover. They didn't do it. Callaway County didn't do it. What did they do? Is they tried to do it through the back door. They tried to usurp the statute by filing this bogus criminal case at the end. And then on the day of hearing in St. Clair County, I'm forced to go to another county to try to get what the statute says is rightfully ours. And they come in that morning and have an ex parte hearing on a search warrant. I mean, the search warrant on his face doesn't. I even went and briefed that in the brief as it being patently invalid. But the point is, stay within the documents, stay within the statute, and all those things could have been done, but they weren't. There was not notice given to the alleged victims. Callaway County did not seek a turnover. Surely they do that. They have that system in place. None of this was done and until the very end, and then the judge, by statute, it says shall order. How do you get around that? I mean, I don't know if Lee Dickerson's name is still thrown around, but back when I was in law school almost 50 years ago, that was the statutory interpretation. Shall means you do it. He refused to do it. Which brings us here. There is nothing in the statute that we did not avail ourselves of. We went over and beyond trying to chase this down. And it was by... I'm sorry, but it was my hook and crook.
So you're asking us to reverse and remand for a proper disposition order?
Yeah, I'm asking you to, I said it in my conclusion, I mean, I'm asking that you reverse forward, send it back and say, to direct the money to be given to the claimants. They're the only ones around.
But there was never a hearing. So wouldn't we reverse and remand under that logic for a hearing?
No, because...
Why not?
You wouldn't, because they argue that. It's not a default hearing. No way to default. A default hearing is when you have it, no one... They filed. We want this money. Give us the money. You shouldn't have had it. You're too greasy-haired, sweating Chinese people that can't speak English, and you shouldn't have this money. That's basically what they said. So we said, no, 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 we're entitled to it. We were given the money to invest, as best as Google Translate would do. That was what was said from the start. So there are two. We filed a claim. We filed a verified claim. This isn't a default situation. You have two litigants. They backed out. They said, we're throwing in the towel. Throwing in the towel doesn't mean that you remand and have a further hearing. Throwing in the towel is we've abandoned it. The state's attorney at the hearing in St. Clair County showed up while he was there, but the old Tom Haines says, no, I don't have any interest in this. So they have no interest. But any alleged competing interest, whether it be Callaway County or the Chinese couple, they had to have gone within the Forfeiture Act to have done that. This isn't a remand. This is a reverse do what the statute says you have to do, give him the money. And then maybe through court claims, as you so astutely observed, maybe Missouri says, hey, I'm not, if you read the Sterben case, it was kind of a similar case, and that's that Florida case that has the same forfeiture statute as us, and the appellate court in that case, I mean, they talk about, well, this is what we, the feds have got to give it back, but if they don't, and that's going to be the situation here, Missouri's going to be ordered to go back, and they might just flip me off, I don't know, but then I have the argument in the court of claims, but I think absolutely, you reverse him, you say you were wrong, you shouldn't have washed your hands, and it should not have sat in a vault somewhere, it should have been returned to the claimants immediately, and no less than 7 days, as the statute.
Any further questions? No, thank you. All right, thank you, Mr. Unsell. You'll have time on rebuttal. Mr. Marshall, good morning. Lots of questions. Oh, I hope not. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Trip Marshall for the state and Madison County, Mr. Unsell. I do agree that Madison County never lost interim jurisdiction. State kind of let down that at the hearing, saying, well, we're just going to dismiss our complaint, jurisdiction goes away, said sound to me, basically go talk to ISP about the money. It's out of my court now. I don't think that was correct. Short-circuited the forfeiture procedure, I think is the words he used. That's accurate. That said, I don't think it equates to a default. You get the money in 7 days because I think the trial court in Madison County correctly recognized that was not the case. Now, here's where I got a little egg on my face because sometimes I come up with things as I'm preparing, and civil is not my strong suit. But I'm wondering, to add to the confusion, whether we even have a final order in this case because it was dismissed voluntarily without prejudice. They would have...
That was going to be my question. Was there ever an order? And if so, what does that order say?
I don't know if there was an order... And I,
oral pronouncement?
I think it was just an oral pronouncement. The order I have, I mean, the one of substance is order finding probable cause on July 3rd, interim jurisdiction. I'm not sure if it was
and
just
that order
an
was entered by whom?
That was Madison County, I don't know the name of the judge, I couldn't read the handwriting.
Okay. But there was an oral pronouncement that we've all
reported
here today that was
essentially
I washed my hands of it.
Your complaint, further actions need to be taken up with ISP. Okay, but I'm sitting here going, okay, it's a voluntary dismissal. So under 217, they would have, I think the forfeiture statute of limitations is 5 years. So they could have 5 years to refile a complaint. Assuming by then they would want to, it might be on the behalf of Missouri by then. I don't know. That doesn't even count the tolling provision that if the property is seized for evidence, the time periods for instituting judicial and non-judicial forfeiture proceedings shall not begin until the property is no longer necessary for evidence. I don't know what's going on in Missouri. I can't say the circumstances over there are fishy. They're on it.
But what is our starting date for it being needed as evidence?
I can't answer that because I'm not sure exactly when. I would say maybe the first time that Callaway County came over and said, hey, we think that's evidence in a crime over there.
Or would it be when the search warrant was entered?
Either way, we're looking at, I think, like 2029. If the state was able to refile their voluntarily dismissed forfeiture complaint, if that was an applicable provision. And if so, then maybe we don't have a final order here. I'm not sure. So I say I didn't brief it. I came up with that as I was kind of preparing.
The question becomes, how do we interpret the oral pronouncement of the circuit court?
And did all of this happen more than 7 days after that oral pronouncement?
Well, The oral pronouncement, I mean, that's just when it ended, I guess. And then he's right, everyone from Madison showed up in St. Clair.
State's motion dismissed, granted, orally.
Yes.
What about the argument that at that moment the state gave up any interest they had in the forfeiture?
They effectively did.
Except.
But they, sorry.
When they dismiss out a charge, they can reinstate the charges, they can reinstate the forfeiture action, and none of this has been briefed by either of the parties, I might add, as well.
Well, I was just, in the one I thought, well, maybe they could, and he's right, it's all hypothetical, seek a continuance at that point, knowing that the Madison County judge has interim jurisdiction. Hey, we've got this on a forfeiture schedule thinking it was money laundering. It appears
to be. But I'm going to interrupt you. He's right. I mean, based on the statement of the Madison County judge, he wasn't going to continue this matter. He was washing his hands up.
And I also admit that based on the representations of the Madison County State's Attorney, they probably weren't interested in refiling a forfeiture. But
you agree that we should reverse, and you're saying we should remand, and he's saying there should be no remand, which he is free to raise by motion in Madison County, should the state attempt to go forward, or the court attempt to dispose of the property. All of that can be done
with a reversal,
protecting each of your positions. If we reverse and remand, leaving him free to challenge back in the trial court.
I would agree.
So it would be a, you're suggesting a reverse and remand with no instructions.
He doesn't, the other side doesn't want to remand, but they're free to raise that by motion.
So it would literally be just a reversal, is what you're suggesting.
Let me make this admission. Again, assuming this is a final appealable order, I guess, is it a final order? Now the state was not going to refile. They washed their hands of it. But circumstances changed. They also thought once they dismissed it, it would just go away.
Well, what happens if we just reverse? And the state chooses to do nothing after that?
We reverse because the Madison County Court did, in fact, have jurisdiction. Where does that leave the appellant? I think I know where it leaves the state, but where does it leave the appellant?
In the court of claims.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know what is pending right now in, I don't know what's going
Missouri.
On in Missouri. I don't know what's
court
going on. That's why I'm like, granted, Madison County is not going to refile this. But arguably, it's still an open order. I mean, or maybe it's not a non-final judgment. Maybe there's no jurisdiction here on that ground. What will happen? I don't know. I don't know if they're like, hey, can you amend that to show a burglary in Callaway County so we can get here? The money's in Missouri now, right?
But then, how do we even have jurisdiction on a non-final order to even reverse jurisdiction in Madison County?
And that's why I apologize for coming up with that late.
Your position is it's not a final order because it lacks a disposition.
My recollection of civil law when I've had to deal with it is a dismissal without prejudice is non-final because it presumes that I'm going to fix my thing and bring it back within the statute of limitations, which in this, there's something like 7 days, give us money, 7 days. 5 years statute of limitations on these forfeiture actions. So I think time could be on the side. So they have 5 years to refile it. So I'm not sure it's an appealable order at this point. Now, I can tell you they probably are, unless Missouri would ask them to or whatever shakes out, but it's almost like there's a rush. Now, the one error, again, that I agree with him on is Madison County still has interim jurisdiction, no matter what happens. So I don't know if this is dismissed.
But it's not right necessarily to be before this court.
Perhaps, but they definitely need to, hey, this is your baby. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on now, you got to own this with paper trail, is the way I understood.
Yeah, but that would take, in order to get that before this court, that would take final order for us to tell them that they, in fact, have interim jurisdiction.
So
So we're in quite a box.
Yeah, sorry I had a confusion this morning, but that just dawned on me later because I dealt with one once.
Let's assume for a moment that we find that there was a final order, and that may be an assumption. Or maybe we ask for supplemental briefing.
An erroneous final order because it lacked the disposition.
Well, it was an oral pronouncement.
Oral pronouncement.
A dismissal, an oral pronouncement. The only thing that...
Okay, we say it was error to dismiss the action. I don't think so. We can say it's error because there is no disposition.
I don't think we get to that because if there is no final order, there is no jurisdiction of the appellate court. Let me ask this question. I'm sort of flying by the seat of my pants here. Is this something that requires supplemental briefing? And I'm mainly asking this of the appellant because this has been presented to us and to him in a matter that maybe hasn't...
If I may, Your
Honor. Yeah.
A9, Exhibit A9 on my brief is a copy of the report. That's in my notes.
There was a written order, I just... What is this? Is this a
dismissed.
It's dismissed.
So that would be a voluntary dismissal?
Does not say with prejudice. I didn't look at that.
It doesn't have to say with prejudice. It would have to say without prejudice.
So you believe it's a voluntary dismissal?
I believe it's just flat and dismissal. I'll walk away, and that is what they said. You would have to look at the motion that they filed in the court. Then it says we do not wish to proceed.
Voluntary dismissal? That creates a jurisdictional problem for this court.
It's just flat dismissal, and there was a written order.
And that's
it. I didn't attach it.
I don't know that we need supplemental briefing in light
of it.
No.
Sorry.
All right.
Can I add any more confusion? And I apologize, but I...
No, I appreciate your... candid information. All right. Any further information for the court? Any further questions?
Any further questions
at this point? All right. Thank you, Mr. Marshall.
Yes, thank you for your time, Your Honors. I would ask for a remedy. I don't know what that is.
Mr. Unsel, you have time to rebuttal.
I'm asking that you reverse the March 21 order and order that the money be returned. That is what I'm asking for. I believe there's sufficient. I mean, I put a lot of effort in this. I believe there's sufficient basis to do that. I do not think you have a jurisdictional problem. You want to look at the record and see what they said in their motion to dismiss. I mean, the order is what it is, and I did attach it to my brief. I believe it was a final and appealable order at that time.
So let's assume for a moment, Mr. Unsel, that we were to find that we didn't have jurisdiction and we dismissed this appeal. I mean, theoretically, in light of what's transpired here, you could certainly file a motion to reconsider that order or a motion in the trial court, I think, so that you could get a final order of some sort, a dismissal with prejudice, correct? Am I correct there, or am I wrong?
Well, I'm thinking you would be wrong. I'll leave the fact to think about it. What is today, the 29th? Have a year. Don't you have a year? I mean, if you do determine that and have a year, their year is come and gone. So if it is voluntary dismissal, I mean, I had a switchancy case with you here, a medical malpractice case here recently, and that's exactly what I did there. When we were in litigation in Mesa County for 5 or 6 years, I moved to dismiss, and I refiled in St. Clair County, and this had been an issue. But I don't know, about 5 years, I don't know where he comes up, but they have a year, so we're done. So no, I don't think I can file anything. I think that it is what it is. It was a final dismissal. They washed their hands of it. And the state police had 7 days to give me the money. They didn't do it. They hid it, skirted it, played hide the pea with it. Now it's in Callaway County. I'm going to have to, I mean, whatever it is that you rule, I'll have to deal with that. Just Callaway County has filed to disperse it, you know, but I'm not licensed in Missouri, just as an aside. They have filed that. The prosecutor in Callaway County was totally unaware that this appeal was pending. And I had a one-way conversation with the judge in Callaway County, and I said, you know, I'm not going to enter my parents, and I'm not going to practice law over there. But here's what's going on. And I informed him. I sent him the brief. I said, I mean, we have all arguments set, and this is, I don't know what they've done with it over there. But, no, this is interesting. But I mean, but I think that's what you do. You reverse and say, look, you are mandated by statute to dispose of it. Judge Schrader, you didn't do it. But you have 7 days. There's no question. Doesn't say anything about voluntary dismissals or anything. The statute's very clear. What if they don't proceed on the complaint that they filed to forfeit the money, then it's returned to the claimants, and the only claimants are my claimants. And keep in mind, I briefed it, but I didn't bring up there isn't a valid attorney's lien on the money. That in and of itself is an interesting. That's mentioned very briefly in the brief, but they acknowledged that there was an attorney's lien. The state police acknowledged it at the time I filed it. All right.
Any further questions?
All right. Excuse me. Yeah, I do have one other question. Did you say earlier this was your last appeal that you're going to argue?
Oh, I'm going to be 75. I'm done.
No, really. This is your last time in this court?
Yes, this will be. I have the CLEs next year that will be due at the end of 27. I don't want to go through that anymore. No, I'm not.
I just have two things I want to say at this point. I'm glad I got here in time to watch you work. And I want to congratulate all of the attorneys who, for your candor and your preparation. This has just been a fascinating appeal. And the Chinese curse is, may you live in interesting times. We have an interesting case here.
You were very astute to hit on the court of claims. That was...
And I echo what Justice Clark said. Thank you for your candor, sure. All three of you, and we appreciate it. We just want to sort it all out. So we will take this matter under advisement. We will issue a ruling in due course, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.